Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the Tailgate Sports Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tanner Johnson. With me, as always, is Ricky.
Hey, what's up, guys? Looking forward to this episode. Tanner, how you
Hey,
doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing, Ricky?
Hey, man. That's an excellent night to be with you. Excellent night to go over these games.
I could be doing better. My Titans have essentially phoned in this whole season. So, I mean, it's bittersweet. Yeah.
Hey, they're gonna keep your heart going strong this year, all right?
Well, my heart gets pumping every fucking time I watch. But it means that they are going for the draft. So I am happy about that. I can start focusing most of my attention towards the draft, Titans at least.
Hopefully you guys can get that number one overall. That'd be nice.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome. All right. So Ricky, it is preview time.
Ooh, let's do this. I'm ready to
Fucking
go over
go.
these games.
It's Minnesota Vikings and the Los Angeles Rams are our Thursday night football game of the week.
Bum
Ricky,
bum
what you
bum.
got?
Man, this game, I'm just praying this game doesn't fall victim to, the Thursday night snoozers we've been used to.
I'm nervous of that too, but I think it's going to be interesting to watch because I think the Vikings have like a sneaky good offensive line. But it's specifically all the greatness is in Christian Darrisaw and Brian O'Neill, their tackles. Their interior sucks.
I'm just hoping that their defense can show up and, we can have a high scoring game on one end and but the Rams D line is also really good.
Like the Rams defensive line, I would put in my top five right now. And it
Yeah.
is 2 second-year players and two rookies.
You've been
Like Kobe Turner should have won Defensive Rookie of the Year last year, 100%. Between him and Braden Fisk in the middle, there's going to be a world of nightmares for the Vikings offensive line. And so you're going to need Kevin O'Connell to scheme up a lot of, a lot of at least quick stuff to start getting this going. Because the Rams defense, the secondary is its weakness. I think it's pretty blatantly obvious. Their defensive line is the best part about their team right now.
Yeah, you've been super high on them all year.
Yeah, like Jared Verse. I love Jared Verse. He was my favorite edge out of the draft just because I thought he was the most safe. He has a power profile. They drafted him and Braden Fisk to be able to run stunts all game because he's essentially like a big-bodied 3-4 defensive end. Like he's going to play that edge, set the edge. He's not going to let anything by him, but he's strong enough to roll into the inside on a stunt and blow through a guard. And Braden Fisk is fast enough to swim out to the outside.
Yeah, so we can both agree that Sam Darnold's been a bright spot for that Vikings offense this year. I'm just praying that, he can read the right protections, call the right protections. Because if that Rams D line puts that pressure on him, that can definitely switch the whole game up.
Yeah, we've seen him pressured this season. It hasn't overly affected the game. It has affected the game in some instances, Niners game, but he hasn't done too much to make you worried. But he also looks like same old Sam Darnold at times.
Yes.
He lucks out on having a great coach and Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison.
But this is also the same guy who saw ghosts against that Patriots team. And I'm not 100% sure if Flores was the defensive coordinator at the time, but
No, Flores was already in Miami.
he had steady pressure in that game, and they had this guy not knowing what the heck was going on.
Yeah. So I think it's going to be interesting because it's going to be fun to watch. I think this is probably one of the more interesting, like, sicko defensive line, offensive line. What's Sam Darnold going to do? What's Matthew Stafford going to do? I mean, Cooper Kupp's been practicing, but I'm not 100% sure he's going to be 100% to play. Even
Yeah.
if he does play, I don't think he's 100%. So you're relying on Jordan Whittington, who is also playing hurt, to carry a bulk of your receiving game.
Yeah, we saw Cooper Kupp come off that preseason injury, and he was kind of the main focus, you know, because, you know, he's great after, you know, yards after contact.
Yeah, I think Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think they're all just built from the same cloth. Like, they're not overly athletic. They're not overly big. But they are strong as hell, and they are not going to drop the ball. So
this one's a tough one to call because, one, you got that Thursday night game. And as we can see, anything could happen Thursday night.
Yeah. So right now, Minnesota's favored by 3.
What do you call them?
Minnesota. I just don't have a reason to not think Minnesota can cover that.
I'm going to have to roll with Minnesota as well. And for fun, I'm going to throw out, you know, some betting picks that I have.
All right.
I think an easy one. I think an easy one that will hit will be, you know, JJ over receiving yards. They have him at 84.5.
Is that the alternate or the main line?
I think that's the main.
And then okay.
I think another one that's easy to hit, but just because, you know, the Vikings passing defense is 30th in the league. I got Matthew Stafford over his passing yards at 235.5. And say Kupp does play and he's effective. You got him. Man, I just see him hitting it easy.
Yeah. If Cooper Kupp plays, I think that over it's a pretty solid bet to make. If he doesn't, I would be looking to cash out. That's just not knowing the state. Like, the Rams offensive line has been getting better as people have been getting healthier. But having to go against Brian Flores' pressure scheme, I'd be shaking in my boots.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if Cooper Kupp plays, I think Tutu Atwell could have a good game. He always can stretch the field.
Yeah.
And I think Matthew Stafford has, like, that ultimate poise ever since winning that Super Bowl. He's always been great. He's always been a gunslinger.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I 100% think he can do it. I just get nervous against that pressure scheme if their offensive line isn't healthy. That's my only question against that. All right. Next game, Philadelphia Eagles at the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals are currently favored by 2 points.
Man, this one's going to be a good one.
I think it's going to be high scoring, man.
You think so with the Eagles? Their offense has been kind of like, I think they've been on a little bit of a slump a little bit, but like, getting by. I don't think they've been dominating games or like winning games. They've been getting by.
Yeah, they haven't been dominating, like you said. But they've been getting by. And last game, they really leaned onto Saquon. And I think that's kind of what it's going to have to be. I mean, last game, Saquon had 17 attempts for 176 yards. He averaged 10.4 yards a carry. Granted, that's against the New York Giants.
Yes.
But the Giants' defensive line with Dexter Lawrence in the middle by itself is better than the entirety of the Bengals' defensive line.
But the caveat for that, they have Joe Burrow, and you saw that Bengals-Ravens game. That was a high-scoring game. You can't even blink without someone scoring. It was crazy.
Yeah, so I think with the Eagles' woes so far this season, they're definitely going to have to lean on Saquon and their offensive line. Get yes. Jalen Hurts involved in the run game. I mean, Saquon had an 85.2 PFF rushing grade last game. Jalen Hurts had an overall 78.2 rushing grade. I think this is set up. As long as the Eagles slow down the game, grind it out, force the Bengals into making mistakes. I mean, the Eagles defense hasn't been playing great, but Quinion and Mitchell make sure that there's no yards after catch. I think that's my matchup to watch in this game. Quinion Mitchell's allowed yards after catch is one of the lowest for any of the starting corners in the league. And he's a rookie corner. I'd be curious anytime Jamar's lined up straight up against him to see what's going to happen.
Man, that's just such a tough cover, though. Because, you know, Jamar, big body, great hands, and then, like we said, he's the best after contact, you know.
Yeah, he's definitely the best after the catch. One of the best. I want to see it. That's my matchup that I want to see in this whole game.
I hope
out of everything, I think it's like his yards after catch. Okay, here's Quinion Mitchell's yards after catch. Through 7 weeks, he is a total of 43 yards after catch allowed per reception against him in coverage. Okay. Has allowed a total in each of the games, 86 against the Packers, 31 week 2, 29 week 3, 67 week 4, 10 and 15 the last 2 weeks. Yards after catch, like I said, yards after catch the last 2 weeks is 4 and 0. He gave up 3 catches over the last 2 weeks. 3 receptions over the last 2 weeks.
That's insane.
Granted, I will give you one of the weeks. Both these weeks were against the Browns and the Giants. Not exactly great offenses he's going against, but you did see him frustrate Malik Nabers in that game. And I honestly would put Malik Nabers as a top 10 receiver in the league already.
Yes.
So that is something that I'm definitely going to be watching. Like that, absolutely. That is like, I love corners. I love watching corner tape. I was a little worried about Quinion just because he played at Toledo, smaller school, didn't face really good receivers the entire time. And I did watch when he played against Ohio State and he got torched by Marvin Harrison Jr.
Monster.
So I was a little nervous with him being corner one for a lot of people. But I think he has proven that he belongs in the league. And so I think just Bengals are just too much. Like if he is able to shut down Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins is going to beat him. But if they shut down T. Higgins, Ja'Marr is going to eventually do it. It's almost like the freaking Thanos in the Avengers saying, "I am inevitable." That is the Bengal. That is the Bengals offense between Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and T. Higgins. Eventually, they will get something going. Eventually, they will beat you. And it's just a matter of controlling everything else.
Just from a personal opinion, who do you think is feeling the most pressure to win? Is it, you think it's Burrow or you think it's Hurts?
Well, I'm not in the locker rooms. I'm not in their heads. Honestly, I think the person that feels the most pressure to win is Nick Sirianni, because he's heading towards getting fired.
Yeah, a lot of his antics don't help either.
I think it's Joe Burrow. I think Jalen Hurts doesn't put a ton of pressure on himself that he doesn't need to. Plus, he knows he can lean on the run game at this point. Joe Burrow needs to win for the Bengals to win.
Do you notice the difference in Hurts now that he's calling his own protections? He doesn't have that crutch from Kelsey?
It's worse. It's worse. His offensive line is good. They are all good across the board. They have a really high floor. But you see a lack of cohesion. And so there might be something getting lost in translation, whether it's the scheme is hurting them or something. Because yes, you saw that with Kellen Moore's offenses in Dallas and with the Chargers, their offensive lines got shakier and shakier. And so I think that may be a calling card for his offenses. But I think we're going to need a full season sample to be 100% sure, because their offensive line should not be as weak as it is. But Lane Johnson is playing, and I think Trey Hendrickson, Lane Johnson is the matchup that you're going to see, because Hendrickson doesn't switch sides. He's technically the left side defensive end, so he's going against the right tackle. He doesn't switch sides. Jordan Mailata is hurt on the other side, and I think he's doubtful for this game coming up. So we'll see if Hendrickson switches sides and goes over the left tackle. I think he's going to feast against Jalen Hurts, because you're seeing a lack of pocket presence from him as well.
I agree.
You got any interesting bets with this one?
I got a few, actually. I got Burrow over yards, 257.5, and I also think he's going to throw over touchdowns. They have him at, 1.5 as usual for everybody. I think he'll throw two touchdowns easy. Ja'Marr Chase, I think he's going to get in the end zone for an anytime touchdown. And I see Ja'Marr Chase over yards at 75.5. I also see, I see T. Higgins and I see Chase scoring touchdowns this week. That's iffy. That, I mean, that Bengals offense has been super explosive, like you've been saying.
Yeah, I definitely agree with all those. I think it's just an inevitability thing. They're eventually going to get Ja'Marr in a favorable matchup. And he could get those 75 yards on one play.
Yeah, right. And it could be like a little short slant, too, and like a little 5-yard slant. And this dude catches the ball, and he's gone.
Is Darius Slay set to play?
I'm not sure.
Because if not, I saw Cooper DeJean come into the game, and he was fine. I don't think he was anything crazy, but I think athletics-wise, he matches up better with Ja'Marr Chase than Darius Slay at this point.
So they have him as listed as questionable.
Okay, that's something to pay attention to, because I think your line at the 75.5 will go up if Darius Slay is not playing, and that is the point where I would get shaky with it.
Yes.
With Darius Slay playing, I think he's got a definite chance. Slay hasn't been playing that well this year, and they're going to try and keep Chase off of Mitchell. All right.
Who you got for this game, actually?
The Eagles. I think the Bengals defense is so bad.
Man.
It is so bad.
I honestly saw you going Bengals. That's crazy.
I wanted to. I was convincing myself of this. But, like, the Bengals defense is so bad. Just anyone can do whatever they want to the Bengals. Like, currently, the Bengals' best trait is their rush defense, and that's because Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt have been playing really well the last 2 weeks. Because to start the year, they weren't playing great at all. But their coverage unit, their corners, their pass rush is awful outside of Hendrickson. And so you're hoping that Lou Anarumo can get everyone going, but it's bad. It's bad. They just lean. The Eagles just lean on Saquon and Jalen Hurts running the ball. Become an old school triple option team if you have to. Mm-hmm. Keep it low scoring, and I think they end up taking it.
I don't know. If they come out dry like they did in that Browns game, I'm going with the Bengals for the money line. I'm going to keep it interesting.
Yeah, it's fair enough. I mean, I definitely was almost convincing myself to take the Bengals there.
But we got some other games to get to.
Absolutely. All right. Bengals. Sorry, not Bengals. I already did the Bengals. Get out of here. We have no use for you.
Your heart is telling you to pick the Bengals.
Well, my heart can shove it right now. We're talking about the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. So right now, the Baltimore Ravens are favored by 8.5. It opened at 10. The under has been getting smashed for it to move 2 full points in less than a week.
Man, the way Lamar's playing, he's looking for that third MVP. And King Henry is definitely taking a lot of pressure off his plate.
Wow. Did you see this report? So just today, the Browns announced that Jameis Winston is now the starter. They are having their offensive coordinator, Ken Dorsey, call the plays for the game on Sunday. And they just signed Bailey Zappe off of the Chiefs practice squad. Sorry.
That's a good pickup, to be honest.
And I think it's going to be a lot closer. Especially, like, it depends which version of Jameis you get. Like, this is a game that you absolutely stay away from, betting-wise. Because you have Jameis. Like, Jameis is a coin flip on if he's going to score 5 touchdowns and no picks, or he's going to throw 5 picks and 2 pick-sixes. He's the ultimate coin flip quarterback. And I think Nate Wiggins' interception in the game, if that's a bet, if that is an active bet that you can make right now as an alternate defensive bet, I would put Nate Wiggins getting an interception.
Honestly, I think
he's been close on 3-4 occasions and just hasn't hauled it in. I mean, he's a ball hawk. That's why they drafted him. So I think, yeah, that's definitely where I'm going. Like Lamar, like you said, he's heading towards his third MVP. This is the best he's been playing. Rashad Bateman is having a resurgence in his career.
Yes.
And Lamar and the offense is looking fantastic with the offensive line struggling last week against the Buccaneers.
And it's just not the same old Lamar. Like, everyone expects, oh, Lamar, rushing, rushing, rushing. This dude's, he's passing the ball, and it's effective. He's accurate. He just looks fantastic this year.
Yeah. I mean, last year he won his second, kind of because, I mean, he was the last one standing. He never had a catastrophic game like Dak and Brock Purdy did. And ironically, Brock Purdy had his worst game against the Ravens. So that didn't help him at all. But I think this Ravens team is playing like the best team in the NFL right now.
You're dead on.
Their defense is good. It's not what it was last year. And I think a lot of that has to do with coaching and their whole defensive coaching staff getting gutted. But they're playing good, and their offense is top five in the league.
I think that Ravens team has a bitter taste in their mouth from the AFC Championship game, and they want more. They're hungry.
So I just checked. Per PFF, can you name the top three offenses in the league right now?
Ravens, Lions, Bengals?
No. So here's the top five. You were right on the Ravens and the Lions being in the top five. Per PFF, the top five offenses in the league are number one, the Baltimore Ravens. Number two, the San Francisco 49ers. Number three, the Detroit Lions. Number four, the Atlanta Falcons. Specifically because of the run game, because the Falcons have the best run game in the league right now.
Nice.
And the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, like, the Ravens are just cooking.
Yeah, you're number one.
Everyone.
They just can't let off the gas. The second they let off the gas and get comfortable, that's when mistakes start happening.
Yeah. So, I was talking last week about some interesting Deshaun Watson stats. I got the stat pulled up. Okay. So before Deshaun Watson, obviously out for the season, torn Achilles. Like, you feel for the dude. I mean, it was a quarterback designed run, plants his leg, and you see his calf just snap. There was no doubt that his Achilles wasn't torn. Deshaun Watson, through the first 7 weeks of the season, is a new league low since at least 2000, the year 2000, the season 2000 to 2001. No quarterback has a worse EPA per play than Deshaun Watson. Like, Deshaun Watson is, Jameis Winston is tied for touchdown passes over the last 3 weeks with Deshaun Watson having only played the last 10 minutes of the game. He also tied Deshaun Watson's third down conversions over the last month, only playing 4 minutes.
That's insane.
Like, that is how historically bad Watson was. And so the Browns are going to start winning games. They're going to finish with 7 wins with Jameis playing.
So with that being said, you know, all the Watson lows, and how do you feel the fans cheering Watson's injury?
It's a tricky situation. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I personally have never been a fan of Deshaun Watson since everything came out. I thought he was fine in Houston, whatever. But everything came out about him and what the ownership did to bring him over. But with him being as historically bad as he was, I mean, Titans fans are clamoring for Mason Rudolph to start, and he did last game and didn't look any better than Will Levis. Like, I think it's more they just want to see something different. And Jameis, like I said, with those two stats, in 4 minutes, showed that he was had better command over the offense and was a better quarterback than Deshaun Watson. Even though, ironically, Deshaun tears his ACL in the best game he's had all season.
I'm going to give it up for not only the Browns organization has always, they've been a class act. And then Myles Garrett, you know, he kind of called out the fans a little bit, you know, show a little bit more class, a little bit more respect after a guy. I don't know if we're going to ever see Deshaun Watson play again.
I don't think so.
I think his time is done.
Yeah, so I learned this. So the Browns have insured his contract, which essentially means since he's gone down, they've insured $14 million of his contract for this season, meaning they have immediately opened up $14 million of cap space for this current season. And then going into next year, they have 100% of his contract insured, meaning he's owed close to, I believe, $90 million over the next 2 years. Like he's getting up to almost like $50 million next year. And it's insured. As long as he is not playing next year, that is 100% off of their cap. They do not have to spend any money on Deshaun Watson.
I mean, it's definitely an injury he could come back from, but like, at what point are you just like, I got all this stuff against me. Like, I'm not the same player anymore. This guy's kind of been injury riddled since he's been in the league.
Yeah.
And he's already gotten paid.
Okay. So here's his cap number for next year. That if he does not play next year, is 100% off of their cap. This is opening up all this cap space. It is $72 million off the cap.
Dang.
That's almost 25% of their cap space opened up instantly. That they would not have to pay him. That it's literally through an insurance. Like, I didn't know that you could even insure quarterback contracts. I guess Deshaun's a little different because his is fully guaranteed. But still, like, that is crazy.
Well, however they worked it, and whoever worked out that contract, they deserve a raise and a bonus.
Whoever insured it. Hey. I wonder if I can insure this.
I don't know. It's a terrible injury for Deshaun, but the Browns kind of catch a break with it.
Yeah.
And if anybody deserves a break, it's them.
Yeah, it's the Browns. He also, you know, back and forth. But I actually agree with the way the line's moving. I think the Browns can cover this.
Oh.
I mean, the Ravens defense does give up points. They're not infallible. I think they're going to cover that 8.5. If it was the 10, I would have definitely bet the cover for the Browns. I think the Ravens win still. I don't think the Browns can win. But to cover 8.5, like more than a touchdown, I think the Browns could do it, especially with Jameis.
What do you see the Ravens winning by?
7.
I don't know.
One touchdown.
This could be one that touchdown. Game where they win by 14, maybe more.
Yeah. You know, they might, but everyone's defense is still scary good.
I agree.
They've still proven that they're scary good. So, all right. I have no more use for that game. Do you have anything else?
Nothing else for it. I think we out-talked it already.
All right. Now we get to go to my sadness.
I think you like discussing the Titans.
Yeah, I do, because I'm a sicko.
This is but, your
do you want to know the largest line for the year?
Let's go.
Titans, Lions. Lions favored by 11.
Damn.
That is the largest line on the season.
I don't know. I don't see it.
You don't see them winning by 11?
No, I think you guys could. As you can see, we've called some games last week, and we were completely wrong.
Oh, yeah. I told you, their defense is sneaky good. I don't think anyone really respects the Titans' defense at all.
I agree.
But they held the Bills scoreless in the first half.
They just got tired. And
just got tired. Bills scored 31 points in the second half alone. I think it's essentially the same thing. I think Ben Johnson is a good enough play caller that eventually they will just start rolling.
Do you think D-Hop leaving kind of, one, opens it up a little bit more for Ridley, but kind of opens up your offense a little bit more?
I think Calvin Ridley, what the fuck are you doing? You got paid to come in here to be their number one receiver. What are you doing? You are getting your targets.
He is.
He was 0 for 8 2 weeks ago on receptions. 8 targets, 0 receptions. I understand Will Levis is not the most accurate quarterback. He is not 0 for 8 inaccurate. Like, what is he doing? They paid him, so they made their bed. Now they got to sleep in it. They can't move on from him, can't get rid of him. It's just is what it is. But Calvin Ridley can't function as their number one receiver. Like Tyler Boyd and Tony Pollard have the two most receptions on the team. They're tied through the whole year. Like DeAndre Hopkins has less than 175 yards on the season.
Crazy.
Less than 175 yards. Like them trading DeAndre Hopkins away. We did call that in our last episode. And we did say it was going to be the Chiefs.
We did.
So, well, you know, come here for all your best information.
You did. That one was written on the wall.
Yeah, he was going to get traded, especially after this last loss this week. 100% assured. The surprising one, though, was Ernest Jones getting traded. Ernest Jones got traded to the Seattle Seahawks for Jerome Baker and a 4th-round pick. And the Titans had just traded for Ernest Jones in August. From what I heard from the Rams organization is that there's definitely something behind him getting traded from the Rams. The Titans gave up a 6th-round pick and got back a 7th and Ernest Jones. And then they made a profit off of him. I mean, they made a profit off of Ernest Jones. But there's something, there might be something going on with him. If he's moving on, burning people out that quickly, I don't know.
I think we'll find out soon enough with Seattle.
Yeah, we'll see. But if he works out in Seattle, I think Mike McDonald just found Roquan Smith 2.0. Like, the Titans are obviously, they're going for the draft. I mean, that's really it. That's it. So the Lions' offensive line is the best offensive line in the league. You can't argue against. No one can argue that. They were facing 6 and 7 man pressures against the Vikings last week, and Jared Goff is in a clean pocket. No one is touching him. Like, someone has to be a free rusher in that, and there's just no free rushers ever.
Nope. They're playing good.
So, if you saw one, there was one play in the middle of the game. It was right before the Lions. It was right as the Vikings started to make their comeback. There was one play, I think, middle of the 3rd quarter. The Vikings had 9 guys on the line of scrimmage. You could count them. They had the corners out wide and a safety over Amon-Ra. Everyone else was lined up on the line of scrimmage. How the fuck are you supposed to tell who's going to be rushing you with 9 guys there?
Yeah.
And he wasn't pressured.
Still not effective.
He wasn't pressured. They converted on that 3rd down. That's just stupid. Jameson Williams, I don't think his suspension affects them at all. I mean, they proved that. I mean, last game he had 1 catch for 4 yards. In the previous game, he was running the ball well the previous game, but he had 4 catches for -4 yards.
Besides Gibbs, who else brings big plays to that team?
I will give you that. I think it's Amon-Ra.
But he's your catch and run guy. He ain't stretching the field. He's not.
I think he proved that last game, though. His touchdown was on just a go route. And he beat the corner off the line of scrimmage and just beat him deep. I think it is Amon-Ra. I think it's going to. He is the chain mover, 100%, just like you said. But when they need a play, Dan Quinn's calling Amon-Ra's number.
I'm going to watch this game just for you.
Yeah. Please don't.
And then I'm going to turn it off. Please
don't. Turn it off immediately. I will watch it because, you know, it's sad.
I'm going to watch it, screenshot a picture, send it to you. But look, I'm watching your game, and then turn it off.
Yeah. The Titans are going to win because you did that.
Because he's getting.
All right. Do you think the Lions cover that?
I hate to call it because then when I call it, the freaking Titans are going to win or they're going to either lose by 3 points. It's going to be something close.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I just think that the Titans are going to lose. The Lions are going to cover.
I'm going to go with Lions money line. Play it safe.
Yeah, that's a coward's way out. You can't do that.
Coward's way out.
Grow a pair. 11-point favorite. Take it.
It'll still get you a win.
That'll get you a win. But, you know, 11 points. That's going to happen.
Don't forget the money line puts money in your pocket too.
Yeah, that's true. I'll agree with you on that one. All right. What's next?
We are looking at the Colts and Texans. I honestly see this as a bounce back game for Stroud, as much as you don't think so. But I think Stroud's gonna have a big game. It's gonna definitely be that confidence booster for him because we saw what they did to get into the road they had to go through to get into the playoffs last year. They had to play those same Colts,
Yes.
which they were playing a Joe Flacco that was playing lights out, I
Cool.
think.
Joe Flacco wasn't on the Colts last year.
Oh, he was on the Colts. He was on the Browns. Who's their quarterback last year?
Well, it was your guy, Mr. Minshew.
Minshew. And he wasn't playing lights out. But that defense was better.
I'll give you that one. Yeah, the Colts defense is bad.
Why am I seeing Joe Flacco on the Colts last year?
Because he's on them this year.
Maybe it's just because he was. I mean, he was the talk of the town at that time because he was killing it with the Browns.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why he's in my head.
Yeah. I just don't know. I think their offensive line is a problem, and CJ Stroud hasn't looked the same since Nico Collins got hurt and placed on IR. Even like Steph with Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell, like two of his top three options. I think he just hasn't looked the same.
So
I think it's just a problem.
you remember that offense that McVay used to run with Kupp and Woods? All these, crossing routes and rubs and a bunch of other things. I mean, I don't see it being a problem pushing Robert Woods up and, running some of those plays with him and Tank. And also, you got Diggs. I think that offense
Yeah.
changed. I think Robert Woods could step up real big for them.
I think that definitely could happen. I just don't know. I mean, it feels, I don't know what they're gonna do. Because it felt like they were playing a lot more with Dalton Schultz on the field and they were running the ball a lot more. I think they're just going to try and bide their time until Nico Collins comes back, hoping that Joe Mixon stays healthy.
How are the
So,
Colts versus the run? Let's see,
hey,
I got you.
Colts, while you're doing that, I'm gonna talk about the Colts for a second.
Go ahead, buddy.
Anthony Richardson's playing. He is up and down, left and right, full circle, spinning around. He is fucking everything you want to see. He had the greatest single throw I have ever seen in my entire life this season. Off his back foot, falling back, getting hit, only arm in the throw, throwing it 70 yards downfield to Alec Pierce for a touchdown. Like, may only Josh Allen could make that throw. I don't even think Patrick Mahomes could have made that throw. But pop up some stuff here for him. Anthony Richardson's completion percentage with a minimum of 20 dropbacks on the season. So that's eliminating all backups. Okay. The only person that has a worse completion percentage than Anthony Richardson is DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Anthony Richardson has a 48.5 completion percentage. Okay. His touchdown to interception ratio is also one of the worst in the league. His turnover that he plays, he has seven. He does have six big time throws, and so it just makes you feel like he's just this frustrating enigma. It's just so unbelievably frustrating because he obviously has the talent. Like he clearly does. But he is so inconsistent and so inaccurate. Just watching it, it's hard to watch
It really
sometimes.
is.
I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what to make of him. Like it just baffles me. But I also don't want to pick the Texans because they struggle against the Colts. Like CJ Stroud last year struggled against three teams in three games. Colts twice and against the Panthers. So Panthers won, that's a fluky game, whatever.
Yes.
The Colts, he struggled against the Colts already this year. The Colts almost won that game and probably should have. They outplayed the Texans. It's staying away. This is another one that I'm staying away. Houston's a 5-point favorite. Why? Why?
I think Stroud's going to show you why on Sunday.
I hope he does, because I mean they're gonna win the division. I don't think that's in jeopardy at all. But to be a true contender, like a lot of people peg them to be, your offense has been hot and cold through the year, has definitely shown a lot of weaknesses. Your defense, your pass rush is good, but your corners are having a lot put on them.
Yes.
Your linebacker play is okay. I don't know. I don't think the Texans are the true contenders that everyone had them pegged for to start the year.
So the Colts rushing defense is ranked there.
Yes.
So let's say the Texans receivers pull it together, and then you got Mixon. Mixon has if he has a great game, I think it's just a blowover game for the Texans. They win easy. Change your mind. Everything's great.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
I also think this is like a crucial time for the Colts. They need to figure out what they honestly want to do with Richardson. I mean, you got a proven champion. Flacco, that Super Bowl run, he was flawless in that Super Bowl run in the playoffs. He's already been a champion. I mean, why not sit AR down behind him for a year? Teach him how to be a true professional. Teach him how to be a starting quarterback in this league. Clean up some of those mistakes. You know, really take him under his wing.
I honestly don't know what that would do for him.
You don't think it would do anything?
Like, it's a decision making. It's a mechanics thing. Like, his mechanics looked good to start the year. Like, against the Texans specifically, his mechanics looked so much better than in the preseason. Like, weeks apart. And I don't know. Like, I loved Anthony Richardson coming out. I wanted the Titans to take him. But I knew he wasn't making it past the top five. I mean, his high end, if he can ascend and get his accuracy under control, that's Josh Allen. Like, that is the high that Anthony Richardson could be. And that's why they're going to keep riding with him, at least for next year.
And if he doesn't, guess who else he is? Jamarcus Russell.
Okay. So you're talking about the Texans coming out, showing me who they are, contender, whatever. Struggle against the Colts. So they're playing the Colts this week. They play the Jets next week. Jets defense, still pretty good.
Yeah, but they're a mess. So,
whole team, their offense is a mess. Their defense is good. Then they play the Lions. Like, they don't have a possible like cakewalk game for another till November 18th.
Hey, man, a 2-1 out of a 3-game stretch isn't too bad.
Yeah, I'll give you that. So they would be 7-3 going into Dallas. After that, they got Titans, Jaguars, Dolphins. that is where they're going to look like world beaters. I don't know. Texans make me nervous. I don't like what they're putting on the field right now. They're good. I don't think they're great. They definitely can't beat the Ravens. I don't think they can beat the Chiefs, and I don't think they can beat the Bills. And in a shootout against the Bengals, who are you going to trust more? I think I'm going to pick the Bengals. That's my problem with the Texans right now. They're good, not great. And they need to get to that great tier, and I think they can be with Nico Collins.
He's just on IR for the next, 3 weeks now?
They have to just activate him. It was 4 weeks, so he's out this week, and I think next week for sure. And then they make a decision to either activate him to a 21-day practice window. And so we'll see. We'll definitely keep you guys updated on Nico Collins. I'm staying away from betting this one. This is one of those ones. Again, Houston by 5. I think the Colts cover that. It's going to be a field goal game.
I say Texans win by touchdown.
Okay. If they do, I'll give you flowers for that one.
You better.
All right, Green Bay Packers, Jacksonville Jaguars. Jaguars are hot mess. Green Bay Packers are good. I think it's pretty straightforward here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you were bound to look like a decent team against the Pats after, you know, getting blown out by the Bears.
I just don't think that teaches you anything. Just it like really you said, it means absolutely nothing. So, like, the Packers defense has been playing steadily better past couple of weeks, so it has me intrigued. They have a legit defensive rookie of the year candidate in Evan Williams. I mean, he is the best rookie player in the league right now. And Jordan Love is playing well enough. He's still turning the ball over, which I think is just going to be his whole career. But he's playing really well, and they have a fantastic run game.
Yes.
Josh Jacobs has finally solidified himself within that Packers offense. He's playing amazing. Finally got a touchdown last week.
Yep, he did. I did see that. I was playing against him in fantasy. Don't worry. Still won by 40, though.
Yeah. Jaden Reed is questionable.
He will make an impact. If he's not playing, I think that'll hurt the offense. But Matt LaFleur, I think, is going to focus more on Dobbs and Wicks. I think it feels like they want Dontavian Wicks to be their number one target on the majority of their plays. His target rate definitely points that way. But Dobbs has been trying to make a case for him to be that. So we'll see. I'm interested to see the target split between Christian Watson, Romeo Dobbs, and Dontavian Wicks.
Oh, I totally agree. I think Dobbs has definitely made a case. Definitely stepped up, despite all the criticism he's faced this year. But easy win for the Packers?
I think easy win. They're favored by 4. I think they cover that. They win by 7. Win by a touchdown at least. I mean, they're just going to run the ball all over the Jaguars.
They don't even need that explosive plays. Because Love's been throwing that long ball like it was... It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Ooh, this one's a tricky one. Just because there's so many variables.
Yes. Tua returning to practice today. This is we're recording on Wednesday. Okay. He returned to practice. His 21-day practice window was open and confirmed. So he's officially on the active roster. And he says he wants to play this week. That's what they're saying. I don't know. I mean, they need him to play to have a chance, really, this season.
Yeah, I think they need to win this game.
Yeah, if they're going to make the playoff, they need to win this game, like you said. But the Cardinals also need to win this game, too.
Yes. I mean, if Kyler can show some consistency, as he's been showing these past couple of weeks, that game against the Chargers, I was a little off and on. But if he can show consistency, have his wide receivers be consistent. And I think they need to play through their tight end a little bit more. Because McBride last year, I mean, he was amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I think Kyler just needs to settle down and just relax. Trust in McBride. Trust in Marvin Harrison Jr. And everything will be fine. But if the Dolphins don't have Tua, they're going to turn to Tim Boyle. Okay. So here's a question for you. Why is Tim Boyle an NFL quarterback?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
His college career, what's his touchdown to interception ratio?
I'm not sure.
I'll change the question. How many touchdown passes did Tim Boyle have in his college career?
Let's see.
Don't go Googling this. I want you. No freaking Googling this. If you're Googling, I'll just tell you.
I'm not sure. Tell me.
A single touchdown pass.
No way.
One touchdown pass, 11 interceptions in his college career.
That's freaking insane.
The ironic part is that ratio is significantly better in the NFL. So he has improved. But why is he an NFL quarterback?
I have no idea. Maybe the Lord was on his side. I don't know.
Aaron Rodgers is smoking too much ayahuasca. Freaking Tim Boyle's the best quarterback ever.
Fucking boosting him up.
Yeah, seriously. Like, Dolphins need Tua to have any hope.
Now that you just said all the stats to me, I'm like, literally, why is he in the league?
There have been, most backup quarterbacks are not. Like, if you're that bad in college, you don't have a prayer of even making the fucking UFL.
My thing is, why do you have Tim Boyle when there's so many, there's better quarterbacks on the free agency right now?
Mike White, Skylar Thompson, both were on the roster. And Tim Boyle has the spot over them. I don't know. Like you said, the Raiders just signed Desmond Ridder?
I don't even understand that.
Ridder is better than Tim Boyle.
Do people not realize that Ryan Tannehill is sitting on the couch right now?
Makes no sense. Tim Boyle is the forever enigma.
I mean, did the Dolphins get amnesia? Did they forget that Ryan Tannehill played for the Dolphins?
Yeah, I don't know. I heard Tim Boyle referred to as the football version. There's a pitcher in the major leagues that he pitched for about 10 years. His name was Kevin Johnson, I believe. He was a relief pitcher with an ERA of 6 for his career. And he just kept sticking around on rosters. Most pitchers, yeah, pitching, you know, in baseball, they go through highs and lows. Everything, it's a marathon. Your whole career is a marathon. And you will get highs and lows through your career and from an ERA standpoint. But to average an ERA of 6 through your whole career and to last for almost 10 years, that is Tim Boyle.
Yeah, that's...
that's Tim Boyle.
That's like saying you made it by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah. So, all right, let's speed this up a little bit. We got halfway through the game. So, New York Jets at the New England Patriots. Jets favored by 7. What you got?
As we can see, Devontae has not fixed any problems with the Jets.
No, I don't think he will. I think they're a borderline playoff team at best. And like you saw that last week, their run game was atrocious. Breece Hall was getting negative yards before contact.
Did you see the Pats get called out by Bill Belichick for their rushing defense, which is ranked 21st right now, actually? But he called them soft. He's like, do you realize that the same defensive players you have on your team right now were the same defensive players I had last year? And we were ranked 2nd in rushing defense. And now they're ranked 21st, and he's calling them soft.
I'm not surprised. I mean, Belichick was saying that. Belichick said that. Gerard Mayo called out his own team. I'm not surprised. Like, yeah, it's frustrating, but I mean, what are you going to do?
So I know the Jets' rushing offense was, you know, in your words, brutally bad. But I honestly think with the Pats' defense, our defense being what they are right now, I think they're going to show some success in the run game, which is going to alleviate pressure off Rodgers, open up the play action, and, you know, that's where he strives.
Yeah, that's the hope. I think the Jets definitely win this game. But Drake May's good.
You're right. Drake May is good.
He's good with nothing around him. I think he's going to get sacked like 7 times, but he's going to keep it competitive. But I don't know. I think the Jets... A 7-point game, I think that's fair. I think that's right around what I would think the game would be.
I mean, I loved Drake May sitting out for the, you know, learning this year. I hate that they're kind of rushing him into this. Because like we've said 100 times, he is good. I don't want him to get ruined this year because, you know, their offensive line is terrible. It's just not the year for the Pats.
Yeah.
I don't want this dude getting beat up.
Yeah, I mean, if the Patriots beat the Jets, Drake May could shoot up, like, betting boards to be one of the favorites to win Rookie of the Year.
Oh, I agree. And then I look like an idiot.
Yeah. Well, what you got? Are the Jets going to cover the 7 points?
I think they are.
Yeah. I agree. All right. Atlanta Falcons versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've already played once this year. It's going to happen.
Yeah, this is kind of like, so you had already said that the Falcons top 5 offense.
Because of their rushing game.
The Bucs defense is beat up a little bit. They're definitely bruised and battered on their offense now that we have two of their main wide receivers. They're one in, they're two out.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know, that Chris Godwin injury kind of just, that one just felt different.
Yeah.
Like, that one shook the whole organization. This dude has played his life, like, his heart out for your team. And I don't know if you read his lips, but it seemed like he said, my career is over.
Yeah. You just feel for the guy, man. It's brutal. I mean, I think with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans both being out, I think the Falcons win this game and take firm control of the the division.
Yeah.
And Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier just run the ball. Like, they have got a combined over 250 yards for two straight weeks. I think they're just going to run the ball.
Kirk Cousins is going to be the king of the South.
Yeah. We'll see how long he keeps playing. Kirk Cousins is giving you every reason to start Michael Penix. It wouldn't shock me if they started Michael Penix to start by the end of the year.
I say don't rush it.
Why? He was the most ready quarterback. Everyone pegged him as the most ready to start.
Until the national championship.
I'll give you that.
Because he again, was fully exposed in that game. 100%. Yeah.
I'll give you that one. And so it's also the reverse of CJ Stroud. How heavy do you weigh that one Georgia game in his draft profile? Yeah. And everyone weighed it pretty heavily. And obviously, he has been the Georgia CJ Stroud since then.
But so, a lot of people saw Penix top five. And look at how his draft stock. He went, what, seven, right?
He was the,
seven?
The fourth quarterback taken. He went ninth.
Oh, he went ninth. But I think he was...
No, he went eighth. He was
the top five pick. And his draft stock definitely dropped after that game.
Yeah. Before that game, definitely. I agree with you. But I don't know. He's curious. That's what I'm going to watch with Falcons. So I think the Falcons win this game and cover that 2.5 point spread.
Yeah. But Kirk Cousins, great quarterback to learn behind. Why not sharpen the tools that you have already? You have a lot of faith in this guy. Why not, you know, be coached?
Yep, I agree. All right, what you got? Do you think they're going to cover 2.5?
Oh, yeah, easy.
Yeah, I think the Falcons are just going to run away with this. They can't stop the run. Buccaneers can't stop the run. Falcons are just going to run the ball the whole time. No Chris Godwin, no Mike Evans to keep the game even close. Just kind of is what it is.
Easy one to call.
All right, New Orleans Saints, Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers are favored by 7.
I think they cover.
Yeah. So Spencer Rattler will be playing. Derek Carr is aiming for week nine return. Paulson Adebo fractured his femur. Their starting corner.
What a bet.
Kool-Aid McKinstry will start in his place. And they just signed MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, to be the Rashid Shaheed role. Shaheed is now out for the year.
So my thing is, MVS was on the Chiefs, kind of did nothing. Had some bad drops, really bad drops. Went to the Bills, did nothing. Got released. Okay, we got all these injuries in the wide receiver, you know, core for the Saints. I mean, why not bring back an old face?
Yeah.
He's sitting on free agency right now. And I know you know who I'm talking about.
Michael Thomas.
Yes. Why not? Dude's healthy. Dude could still play. And if not, bring in Hunter Renfrow for Derek Carr.
Yeah. I don't know. I think their offense runs through the run game, and they can't run the ball. They can't really do what they want to do as a passing offense.
But look at these past, 3 weeks? Their run game has looked horrific.
Their entire offensive line's hurt, except for their left tackle. And it's not going to get any better. The Chargers have currently the best scoring defense in the league. Granted, the Chargers have played no one all year, and they're 3-3.
Yeah.
But
I just see this as a replay of last week's game, to be honest. It just gets away from the Saints, and it just keeps snowballing. Exactly how it did against the Broncos.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the Chargers are easily going to win this game. The Chargers are favored by 7. Are you going to take a 7-point line?
Yes.
There he goes. He's not a coward on this line.
No, not on that one.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'll take the Chargers to cover this game.
Let's move on down to the Bills and Seahawks. I know you've been wanting to talk about this one.
So, Bills, slow start to the year. Slow start last week. You know, Titans defense locked him down pretty good. Amari Cooper, Amari Cooper had an overall grade of 90.8 just because of the second half. Like,
that's without knowing the playbook.
Without knowing the playbook, Keon Coleman is pointing and drawing the routes for Amari. Like, that's what he did in less than a week's time. He stayed after practice. He was, like, drilling himself to try and get the playbook down. in order to play last week. And I don't know. I think the bigger thing to talk about is the Seahawks defense. Byron Murphy II being back in the lineup was definitely a huge boost. He played his best last week. He had a 74.6 overall grade, a 70.6 pass rush grade. And his pass rush win percentage is 16.4 as a defensive tackle. So 16.4% of his pass rush reps, he beats the guard or center, which is third among all rookies, and 10th overall among all interior defensive linemen. So he's good.
Yes.
Good boy. And I didn't know this until I started scouting him a little bit. So at Texas, Byron Murphy weighs barely over 300 pounds.
Oh, man.
Tavondre Sweat, big boy, probably pushing, we'll be generous. Well, should I be generous or nice?
I think you should be generous.
Generous? He's probably 385, 390, sitting there on that defensive line in Texas. And who would you think is the nose tackle?
Definitely him.
Byron Murphy was. He's beaten double teams. A couple weeks ago, he had a run defense rep where they double teamed him, and how he took on the double team, I think it was week one or two. He goes down to one knee and essentially acts as a springboard and anchors both the guard and the center on himself and pushes them off from his knee to distribute the weight and leverage himself back underneath.
Jeez.
Overcame them and made the tackle.
It's pretty much making it with athleticism.
So he is insanely strong. I think he's going to be a problem for the Bills' interior offensive line. I don't know what you're going to do to stop Amari Cooper and the Bills. I think it's, again, another I am inevitable.
I don't know. I think
this is my game of the week.
This is your game Bills of the Seahawks. Week.
This ain't my game of the week, I can tell you that much.
Yeah, because
you like to.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you can call my game of the week.
Your game of the week will be the Bears and the Commanders.
Damn, you know me all too well.
The Bills are favored by 3. It's in Seattle. Good home field advantage. But I think the Bills will cover that.
Well, no, I'm going to take the coward's way out and say the Seahawks punch the Bills in the mouth and take the money line.
Seahawks money line.
Yes. Seahawks
money line. Okay. I see you.
I'm having faith in all this confidence that you've put into this defense, this defensive line.
They got healthy.
I think they just eat.
Right. We'll see. That's definitely going to be something to watch.
Oh, I forgot. DK might be out as well.
Oh, then the Bills are going to win for sure.
Yeah. But you know what? I'm going to stick to what I've said, and I'm going to go with Seahawks 21.
All right. Got the Carolina Panthers at the Denver Broncos. Broncos are 10-point favorites. I mean, is anyone going to watch this game?
I think Bryce Young's parents are going to watch the game.
That is true. Bryce Young is starting this week for an injured Andy Dalton.
And then all the delusional Broncos fans that think they're probably going to win the Super Bowl, which they're not going to.
No. Broncos defense is good. And I think Bryce Young sees ghosts and Denver covers 10 points. Easy. Oh. I mean, that's really it. Like, Bryce Young is just broken. I don't think he can function as a quarterback in the NFL anymore. So,
I don't know about all that.
I think that's it for me. I mean, that's all I really have to say about this game.
Yeah, I know you're high on Denver's run game for the past couple of weeks or last week. So, like you said, easy game for them. It's nothing much to talk about. Broncos win easy.
Easily. All right, we have the last undefeated team, the Kansas City Chiefs, and your Las Vegas Raiders.
Big shocker, they stay undefeated.
Yeah, trading for DeAndre Hopkins.
And then that's not only it. They're coming into this game. Let's talk about the last team to defeat the Kansas City Chiefs. It was the Las Vegas Raiders, Christmas Day, in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. That was the last team to beat Kansas City. So not only do they have that, They got the whole Raiders making the whole Muppet thing with Mahomes, talking all that mess, and you know how the Chiefs do. They use all that as fire.
So the over-under for the game, point total, is 41.5. I think Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs drops 42.
I think they drop 45. I think it's just one of those games that get away real quick and it just stays that way. It snowballs real fast.
Snowballs. Carson Wentz will come in. They'll run Wildcat with Carson Wentz.
I hate to say it, but, you know, we're definitely not trending in the right direction. Got quarterback issues, management issues, running issues, wide receiver issues, cornerback issues.
Yeah. So 10 points, Chiefs will take that.
Yep, easy.
All right, your game of the week, Chicago Bears at the Washington Commanders.
Again, there's variables in this game. I don't know.
If Jaden Daniels plays.
If he plays, we get that game of the week. It's going to be a high-scoring game, and I don't know. There's going to be some big plays. Caleb, a lot of people don't think he shines under the bright lights, but I think these are the kind of games he lives for.
He's definitely been playing a lot better. I mean, he closed the gap to Offensive Rookie of the Year with Jaden Daniels in 2 weeks. He's only at 25 points behind.
The upside for the Bears is their defense is better than the Commanders?
Oh, significantly better. They have the best coverage unit in the league by far. So, if Jaden Daniels doesn't play, Marcus Mariota, hot, cold, good, bad, circular, Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get out of Marcus Mariota.
They might as well.
And I think you know what you get from Caleb Williams now.
And then their wide receivers are, you know, starting to get healthy again. Uh-huh. And Allen's playing great. Roma Dunze is starting to insert himself a little bit more. But their tight end's eating crazy.
Yeah, I agree. The Bears are finally showing into form.
Yes, Swift is playing great.
Chicago's favored by 2.5. If Jaden Daniels does not play, I will take that.
I think
if he does, I think the Commanders win.
You shake it up. I think the Bears win regardless. By a field goal.
By a field goal, that's fair. If Jaden Daniels plays, man, I mean, he has probably been the best quarterback in the league.
But we've also just said that the Bears' defense
is better. But he did that against good defenses already. I mean, he did that against the Ravens defense.
Is the Ravens defense better than the Bears defense this year?
I would say yes. Ravens have played way better teams. Bears haven't played anyone.
But is the Ravens defense winning these games or is their offense winning these games?
Ravens offense is winning these games. But I'm just saying, he did not bat away and he put up points against the Ravens. So I think Commanders take this. Jaden Daniels plays, Commanders win.
I disagree, my friend. Where are they? Why am I not seeing it?
You ready to go on to the next game?
Give me 1 second. So the Ravens are ranked, what are they, 23rd overall defense. Where's the Bears at? Why can't I find them?
Where are you getting this overall defense?
Oh, the Bears are ranked 5th.
Yes. So, we'll see. This will be a good test for Jaden Daniels. But if he plays, I think they win. They're just doing so many things creatively on the offense, through the run game. They're not putting it all on his plate. It's like Cliff Kingsbury has become an entirely different person.
Yeah, he definitely got a second chance, second life in the NFL.
So, I think Commanders win this game.
I'm going Bears regardless.
Cover. All right. We got the Dallas Cowboys at the San Francisco 49ers.
Another Cowboys-Niners game. Let the chaos begin between these fans.
The 49ers are favored by 4. Ayuk is out for the year. Deebo didn't play last week because he was like visibly sick. I mean, they showed a clip of him running into the tunnel, and he's throwing up as he's running into the tunnel. Like he had the flu or something, man.
Yeah, something real bad.
But the 49ers are going to rush for over under 250 yards.
When is McCaffrey supposed to come back?
He started practicing, but Jordan Mason's playing this game.
Okay. Caveat to Brandon Ayuk being out.
Are you going to talk about Ricky Pearsall?
Ricky with a blicky. He's coming out with some vengeance, my friend.
He just looked lost in the offense. I don't know. Him and Brock Purdy are just nowhere near insane. I don't know why I'm arguing against you. I think the 49ers are going to steamroll the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
There's no point to be arguing that. No matter how they do it, they're going to just throttle the Cowboys.
So I don't think the bye week did anything for the Cowboys.
Still the same issues.
Yeah. Offensive line is bad. Defense is
league worst defensive rush defense.
They only have one target to throw the damn ball to.
So it's just bad. Cowboys, bad situation all around. Can't run the ball. Can't stop the run. Only CeeDee Lamb, just like you said. 49ers, I feel like, are a sleeping giant. And it's coming.
Niners bounce back from the Chiefs.
So I think they definitely do cover that 4 points.
Good call, my friend.
All right, last game of the week.
Ooh.
Monday Night Football. We made it, Ricky.
We made it. Last game. And it is a snoozer.
New York Giants.
They should have flexed this game, my friend.
At the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Russ looks like Super Bowl Russ.
I'm going to give you that.
Russ looked fantastic.
He looked great. And I told you this. It was a win-win for them.
You did. And I did not believe you. I thought he was cooked. And he definitely looked really good.
I don't know. So, maybe it was just the Broncos that were just bad.
It's probably.
I think Sean Payne gets too much credit.
Yeah, probably. So, Pittsburgh Steelers cover.
Easy.
I mean, they don't have anyone that can cover George Pickens the entire game.
Is Drew Locke starting? For the Giants?
I believe Daniel Jones is starting.
Okay. He'll get pulled by what, second quarter?
I think he's going to get pulled. So I think it just is what it is.
Where's Tommy Cutlets at?
Why would you want Tommy Cutlets?
I don't know. Let's just shake some things up, my friend.
Shake some things up. And just
New York loves him.
Be sad. Lives with his mom in his basement. His mom friggin' makes his bed.
But the chicken cutlets, my friend, are bar.
Whatever. Steelers win.
Steelers win.
Don't even want to talk about this. All right, everyone.
I know we reached the end. How are you feeling at week 8?
I think this is the halfway point. Besides, I think we're starting to know.
Besides the Ravens pulling away and the Chiefs being the Chiefs, you see anybody else stepping up?
Lions. Well, the Lions are already there.
Yeah. Lions are there.
Lions are the best team in the NFC. I think the 49ers are probably on their way up. I think they're an inevitability. I'm curious about the Vikings.
Yeah, so that's a question mark. Were they exposed last week?
I don't know. We'll have to see through the rest of the season.
I feel like the Bills are the Bills still.
I think the Browns will definitely rise from that 1-6.
This AFC championship is going to be great.
Yeah. It's going to be AFC playoffs are always the best to watch. So. All right, Ricky, we have made it. Thank you guys all for listening and making it clear to the end with us, previewing every single game for week 8 in the NFL season. Please don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe on all major podcast platforms. That really helps us out. Don't forget to share it with your friends, too. I mean, we put a ton of work into these episodes, and we got a real treat for you guys next Sunday. Yeah.
We are getting into your bread and butter.
Yeah, this is my shit. Mock draft. What? We are going to do a mock draft Monday, everyone. Okay? Definitely tune into that one. It's going to be a ton of fun. I'm going to be coaching Ricky, letting him know the deets on all these first-round rookies.
But like Tanner said, we're nothing without you guys. Please like, share, and subscribe. And we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Have a good one.